Blog Talk Radio.
You abandoned me. Love don't live here anymore. Just a vacancy. Love don't live here anymore. When you lived inside of me, there was nothing I could conceive.
Everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Good evening, everybody. Yesterday was my birthday. It was a beautiful day. It started off a kind of down because I had went to a funeral first thing in the morning. A girlfriend of mine who died in 2010 on my birthday. Her mother's funeral was yesterday on my birthday. After that, I went to the DMV, was in there for what seems like forever, trying to get my license renewed. Okay, I finally got that open. I had to go to back. Oh, by the way, it was an elderly man in the DMV yesterday. And if I'm not mistaken, that man had a heart attack. And when they took him out of there, he looked dead. But I'm not a doctor, so I really don't know if he was. But I've been, you know, working in the hospital, and I know when somebody's dead or whatever, but I can't predict that. But it was so sad to see him. Because at first he just was sitting there, then all of a sudden his eyes got real big. They went in the back of his head. He went back, and he was sweating. So the ambulance came and took him away. By and by, I'm sitting there waiting for them to call my number. When they finally called my number, I was happier than a sissy in Boys Town. Okay. So I got my license renewed. Then I had gotten the car and had to go to the bathroom. But by this time, the DMV was closed, so I couldn't go back in there and use the bathroom. So I'm rushing home. It took me about maybe 10 or 15 minutes to get home. Just made it in the bathroom. But when I got here, I had balloons, a card with some money in it, and people were calling me, friends, family, you know, people just calling to say happy birthday and, you know, ask how I've been, people I hadn't talked to in a minute, but, you know, they seemed to come around and wish me a happy birthday. And my daughter took me to this beautiful, lovely Chinese restaurant called Grace's. I don't know if you guys on here know about Grace's, but it's a beautiful restaurant. We went up there for happy hour. I had two drinks and food at happy hour. They give you little plates of food, which is half the price of the food when it comes after happy hour. So we feast a little and came home and went on the internet and was sending out thank yous for everybody who sent me a birthday wish on the internet. I really do appreciate that. Thank you again. If anybody's on here that signed my wall on Facebook, I really do appreciate, and I love you guys for that. You know, that lets me know that if you don't like me, or if you do, yesterday you came through for me, and I do appreciate that. So I love all you guys for that. And hope everybody had a beautiful yesterday and a beautiful Wednesday as well. It was really a nice day here today. Really nice day. I went out for a little while, but wasn't out as long as I was yesterday. And my birthday still is going on because Saturday my son is going to have a cookout for me. So, you know, I guess Monday or even Sunday it'll be all over with. And I'd like to wish all the other Librians happy birthday. Who had a birthday this month. Some had birthdays the same day as mine. Some had birthdays the day before mine, and some had birthdays today. So happy birthday to all of you. And it's just one more year added on to my life, and I'm really grateful and thankful that God allowed me to wake up this morning or yesterday morning as well to see my birthday, because so many of my friends, you know, are not here to see their birthdays, and may they rest in peace. With that being said, I'm going to bring my co-hosts on. Tonight's topic is toxic relationships. And I'm quite sure if you have never been in a toxic relationship, you may know of someone who has been in a toxic relationship or is still in a toxic relationship. And we're going to speak on that tonight because we need to think more of ourselves and, you know, what's going on in our lives to be involved in a toxic relationship. So with that being said, I'm going to bring in both of my co-hosts. Okay, hi, Danny. How are you?
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm fantastic, darling. Let's see. Let me bring Rhea in here. This thing is acting crazy. Hi, Rhea. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am fantastic, darling. Just fantastic. 63 years old. You know what? I can't believe that I'm 63 myself. I really can't because I don't know. I'm still feeling like I am. I'm just feeling like I'm still in my early 30s for some reason. You know, I'm not really, well, I don't know how you feel when you're 63. I really don't, but I'm 63 and I don't feel it. You know, I mean, I don't know how to feel because, like I said, I still feel like I'm in my 30s. And I do know how that feels, but
hi, Danny.
Hi, Leah. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm good.
Good. Right. So, you know, tonight's topic is about toxic relationships. And the word toxic is relating to or caused by poison or toxin. And the word poison is a substance that, through it, chemical actions causes injury or kill or death. Sorry. So, you know, being in a toxic relationship, it becomes poison when you're either something's gone wrong or, you know, something's not right about it. If you're being abused in a relationship or, you know, just different things cause it to be toxic. You can be in a relationship, somebody cheats on you and you let them cheat on you so much until they just, it's just a thing with them and you're accepting it. That's toxic. You've been in a relationship where somebody's abusing you physically, mentally, verbally, sexually, whatever, and you accept that, that's toxic. You know, it's just so many forms of being in a toxic relationship until it's not funny. And then sometimes people don't even realize that they're in a toxic relationship because they have adjusted to being in one. They accept these things that go on. They accept the person who is doing all kind of things to them, and they think it's okay, it's cool. You know, but you need to recognize these things and get out of it. But if you want to be in a toxic relationship, you need to try to turn it around. If you love that person and you want to be with that person, and if you can't turn it around, then the only thing I can tell you is get out of it. Because just like, you know, the poison, it can cause injury or death. And there has been women in toxic relationships that are dead or have been injured, you know, and I can speak of a few of them. Yvette Cave, a young lady that lives out here in Maryland, I don't know if she still does, but her husband, they had the story on ID, but her husband, you know, they got together and everything was hunky-dory, lovey-lovey, and he was an alcoholic, unbeknownst to her. So he lost his job, and then he became abusive, and she split up with him, but then she got back with him, then he went through the same thing. So when she split up with him for the last time, he couldn't take it. So he goes, gets some gasoline, goes up to her job, and sets her on fire. She had a restraining order against him, but a piece of paper doesn't mean nothing when somebody wants to do harm to you. You know, that's just a false sense of insecurity as far as I'm concerned, women having these pieces of paper telling somebody to stay away from you, don't come within a 500 feet and all that kind of stuff. If somebody hates you enough, they don't care what a piece of paper says. They don't care about the consequences once they do their act. You know, all they're thinking about is getting you and doing harm to you. So maybe before those things happen, you know, I'm not saying that it was possible, but maybe if she didn't go back to him, I think she even moved away and he found her. But, you know, it's just a sad thing for a person to get so far, so deep into something until you can't get out of it. Or the only way out is death, or the only way out is you're being injured or maimed or set on fire or hands and arms and, you know, different things like that being cut up. So I just think that, you know, women need to be a little bit more aware of these things. Some men, too, because men can be abused and, you know, different things can be done to them the same as women, because you have abusive women out here that men let these women abuse them simply because they may have come from an abusive background and they don't want to, you know, be abusive to their mate after they've seen their father beat their mother almost to death. So, you know, men vow to those different things. And some men who are in abusive relationships or have been abused or seen their mother abused, they become abusers too. So these women out here abusing these men who have been scarred already, you know, and then it shouldn't be, nobody should be abusing anybody. You know, because it's, you don't have the right to put your hands on somebody. And, you know, your child, that's something different. But a grown man hitting a woman or a woman hitting a man, there's going to be consequences. And especially if a man is the type of man that's beat up women anyway. So what do you have to say about that, Danny or Rhea?
I mean, I'll let you tackle that. I'm going to let y'all ladies go first. I go last.
My relationship was toxic. And it's interesting. I talked about it earlier today to someone else. So it's interesting that I went back there. When I think of that period, those times, it's almost like I'm thinking about somebody else because I'm not that woman anymore.
Right.
And I can hardly believe I was that woman.
Right.
It's like, well, I can't hardly. I don't. It's like I know it was, but it's almost like, what the hell was wrong with me? I can't even fathom it. And for the longest of time, when I finally did walk away, I didn't walk away for me. I walked away because of what it was doing to our children.
Right.
He was an alcoholic, and he was also abusing drugs. He's an addict. He can say what the hell he want to say, but he's an alcoholic addict, and he never claimed neither one of them. But he was just going, getting more and more and more. Well, it had gotten to the point where we lived in a big, huge house that was two levels. And he stayed on the main level because I was done, as they say, I was done with him. So I put him out. My father let him come back. And he stayed on the main level with them. And me and my children were on the upper level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's near the end of it. But I sit back and I look at that. We got together when I was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 14 and he was 17. And I was already on my own when I was 14. We started living together when I was 15. And it's like, in the beginning, first of all, I loved this man. There was no ifs, ands, no buts about that. And I knew that I loved this man. However, in the beginning, I made excuses. At first, it was, the first time he hit me, because I was a fighter. They used to call me Scrappy. And I was a fighter. I should have hit the hell out of him. I should have hit his ass back. That's what I should have did. And it would have never been, you know, but they also called me Ali. Anyway, it would have never been, it probably would have put an end to that. But anyway, he smacked me when I was 15 that summer. I turned 15 in February. He smacked me that summer because somebody asked me my age. It was a male, and I was and I answered him. We were talking, and we live right there in the same neighborhood. He really didn't have to ask him my age. Now that I think about it, because he knew my damn age. But anyway, I sat there, and I sat back, and that's when it started, and then it just escalated, and it escalated more and more. Even though I got to the point where I could sense it. Mm-hmm. And I could read him very well. It got horrible. It got horrible to the point where, like I said, God kept me here for a reason. Because I should have been dead a long time ago. You know, it's like, I don't know how bullets miss you like that. I don't know how, you know, stabbings you come through like that. I just, it was ugly. It was probably as ugly could possibly get. And I sit back and I look at that now, and I have the hardest time. It's like for the longest time, it was something that weighed very heavily on my self-esteem, that I allowed myself to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And because at the end of the day, I stayed. So, and I can't say in the beginning I stayed out of fear. The fear came later on, and when the fear came, the bitch in me rose up, and she took over. And I probably would be sitting in jail right now, have my 27-year-old, who was 11 at the time, was not determined to walk out the front door with me, because I had set this whole plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to fight that night. And one of us wasn't going to walk away from it. And I knew it was going to be me that was going to walk away from it. And I was tired because he was following me at that point. And he was starting that stalking stuff. And it had me jumpy. And it had me in a – well, anyway, I just sit back and I look at that now, and I don't know how I maintained that. I don't know how I stayed in it as long as I did. I was in there for a total of 18 years. 14 years, more or less, taking it. 4 years fighting like cats and damn dogs until somebody was going to go out of there in a body bag, and I had to pack up and leave because it was affecting the children. And then once I got away from it for about, I want to say about 2 years, I still had love for this man.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never see myself with him again. But those feelings didn't dissipate. And when people would ask me, what do you love about him? I was able to answer them everything. And as time went on, I often wonder, was I in love with the ideal of love? Because, you know, having been in love with him, was I just because I married this man,
right.
I committed myself to this man, and was I more in, I held holding on to that part than the physical? But anyway, I just been there, done that, and will never, ever, ever in this life or anybody else's life do it again. And I have counseled quite a few women. And if I learn nothing else in my day, in my time, I've learned that you can talk until you're blue in the face, until they're ready to do whatever. It's a waste of time and energy. It's really a waste of time and energy.
Right. You mentioned the fear came in. What caused that fear?
He was following me.
He was stalking.
Yeah, he would do things. Okay, first of all, he was very violent, and when I say a coward, he definitely was a coward. He was the type that would run up behind me, and you know, like steal on me and stuff. See, when I came up, we fought. You know, if you got into a fight with somebody, it was a fist fight. You got your butt beat. You got your butt beat. It was
right.
You know, you didn't have all that stuff. He was that coward type. He's not going to run up on me when I'm looking at him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He got to do that sneaky stuff that's going to throw me off balance before it even is over, before it starts. But anyway, I became more and more, like, I knew he was following me because he would call my phone and tell me what I was wearing that day or question what I did that day and stuff like this. And there were times when I could feel him, and I didn't know where he was at. And I'm like, okay, you know, I started becoming paranoid. And it was because of the things he was doing. So it's like, okay, you want to play a game? I'm not in the game playing anymore. I'm not going there. And like I said, we was going to have it out. I have strategically placed things, places. I knew exactly where we were going to meet at. I was ready. I was going out there. I even smacked my 10-year-old and told him to go back to bed, and he would not leave. And he said, "You're a woman, and we the men of this house, and we have to protect you. I'm not letting you go out of here by yourself. I'm going with you." He said, "I'll be real quiet. Won't say nothing. I won't do nothing." And he would not let me leave out the door. And I'm trying my best to get away from him. And it's like, and that child refused. And when I smacked him, he said, "We always want to take care of each other." He said, "You can do whatever." And I don't know why you so angry at me. But you can't go out here by yourself. He said, even if you go out this door, I'm going to sneak out behind you and I'm going to follow you anyway. And lo and behold, that's exactly what he was trying to do. And that's what kept me in the house.
Wow.
And that's probably why I didn't get myself in trouble.
So did he ever, have you ever had him arrested for anything?
Oh, sure I did. And let me tell you, one of the things that, and it could be a desensitization, being desensitized, but the police, it's a joke to them.
Mm-hmm.
Domestic situations, in more cases than not, is a joke to them. You know, they would look at me when I started picking up my weight, and because I stand five, two and a half, and when I started picking up my weight, it was your big ass. Let him do what to you? Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or they got to the point where they would threaten me instead of threatening him, you know. And if you call us for a useless reason again, you're going to be taken to jail for filing false claims and stuff like this.
Wow.
And they sat it with him so much. The matter of fact, the very last time I got to a point, the summer before I left, that June, I left in August. That June, I had gotten to a point where I just couldn't take it no more.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in my life was going topsy-turvy, and I wasn't sleeping at night. And it had been, I was going through a bout of insomnia, and it had been 3 weeks. And I was crazy as a Betsy B. I was actually falling asleep when this man started clowning. And I remember I grabbed my purse, and I was going outside because I didn't want him to wake the children. They had the Iowa test, which is their standardized test the next day. And so I was going outside, and he grabbed the purse, and you ain't going nowhere in this, that, and the other. Well, I just wanted to get him out the house where the kids was at. I don't know if none of my siblings were at the house, and my parents were gamblers, so they could be gone all times of day and night. So it was one of them things like, okay, I need to get this man out of this house. So I went, once I got out the house, I got on one side of a car, and he got on the other, and he couldn't catch me coming around that car. And I don't know exactly how I ended up, what made me do what I did, but I ended up walking up the block to the main street. We stayed on 58th Street. I went up to 59th Street, and when he was coming at me, I know what it was. I was frustrated. When I got a hold of my purse, when he had snatched that purse, he broke my glasses. I had to pay $400 and some dollars for those glasses. And I was so damn frustrated, I did not know what to do. And because I couldn't see distance without them. And it's like I went into almost a panic mode. And I remember crying. I walked up to 59th Street, called myself getting away from him. And when I looked at, he was running up behind me. Next thing I know, I'm in the middle of the street. And I said, I'm tired. And I remember stating those words. A car swerved. And it actually hit a tree, hitting me.
Wow.
And I sat there and I said, Lord, I done hurt somebody. And the guy in the car was fine. And when he got out the car, I don't know what he sensed, but he grabbed his club. And Terry, I'm a husband, this and the other. That's the first thing out of his mouth. And the guy said, I don't care what you are. Right now you're bothering her. That guy is what got the police to come.
Mm-hmm.
When the police came, the police told me to go on back in the house. I said, I'm not going back in the house with him. And the cop said something to me. I said, this is a public sidewalk. I can stand here all night long if I want to. I'm not bothering nobody. And he said, oh, she's anal. You really want this? You really want to deal with this and something like that? Talking to Terry now. And he thought I was going back in the house. I wasn't going back in the damn house. So I sat on top of my mother's car. And I sat there until when the police came, somebody must have called her. Because she came home about 30 minutes later. And I just looked at her dead in her face. And I told her, I said, I'm done. I can't take this anymore. And his stuff was not upstairs anymore. She told him he had to leave. 2 days later, he was back there. And I felt that she chose him over me. And it sent me into a deep funk. And I went away with my job. I worked for a international sorority. And I went away with my job for 2 weeks. Following my job, I went on a vacation with this church group from the city. We went to Boston. And I had time just to me. When I came back from Boston, I could not go back there. And when I went to pick up my kids, my sister saw it all in my face. And she said, y'all can take the floor in the living room until you're situated. And I never returned there again.
Wow. And what did you love about him? Were you in love with him from the beginning, or it just grew on him? You grew to love him and
I actually was in love with him before he ever talked to me. I didn't know it was love at the time. It was it was something. I'm a crocheter, and I used to sit on the porch and crochet or read. I'm an early riser, and we couldn't go out of the gate naturally. So I would sit on our front porch. He used to play ball in the field that was at the empty lot that was at the end of the court. And I used to watch him. And there was something about him that caught my attention, and it never let go of it. Now, that was from the first time I ever laid eyes on him. Didn't even know who he was at that time. It was 2 years later that we started, quote-unquote, going together. And I was, like I said, I was 14 at the time. And he was attentive when he wanted to be. I now know that he was very attentive. He was he was extremely smart. We had wonderful conversations. And now that I think about it, those were probably some of the most attractive characteristics of him at that time. Because those are the things that I was lacking in my life. And he fed off of that. Because later on, he admitted it. He said, I know what you needed. He said, and I gave you what you needed. At that, and so I sat back and I looked at that, and it's like, wow. And like I said, by that time I was on my own, and I was having a hard time getting an apartment. Nobody wanted to rent to me. And his mother ended up moving out of the apartment that they were in, and they allowed him to take over the lease. But they wouldn't let me get on the lease because of my age. But I was the one paying all the bills. And so I made the active choice to, you know, stay. And later on, that's where I take full responsibility for my part I played in that. And my part basically was the fact that I chose to stay. And
Didn't you say you had left and then y'all got back together after all that?
No, well, the only time I left twice. Well, I physically left twice. I left the day, this was before the marriage, the day I found out I was pregnant with my oldest son, I left. And the I left again when my oldest, when I was still pregnant with my oldest son. It was a few months later. It was about 2 months before I delivered. My mother begged me to come back home, and I went back home. And that, like I said, those were the times. That was those were times before the marriage. The marriage shouldn't have never happened. because he had showed himself before that marriage, and I chose to marry him anyway. And I think down the line, I thought that if this man saw stability and saw love, we would eventually grow together, you know, mm-hmm. because we had ideals, we had plans, we had things such as that, but none of them came to fruition because he could not follow through on anything. He get a job, and 2 months later, he ain't got a job no more because he done walked out on it. He start school, get a 4.0 GPA, and then leave. He had
no
problem at all.
Right, you said he was an alcoholic. When did he start drinking, or was he drinking before y'all got married?
He was drinking before we got married.
And you knew that?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's interesting now because I talked to him earlier this year, and we talked, had a conversation, and certain things came up, and like he swore up and down to me that he did not do certain things, and I sit here now as an almost 50-year-old woman, some 35 years later, come December, I sit here and I say to myself, He don't know what, he swore up and down he never smoked marijuana. Yes, he did. You know, I mean, how could you forget that? I sit back and I look at him now, and I don't even feel sorry for him, but he's a pitiful excuse for a human being.
Wow.
And I don't feel anything anymore. I used to have hate. I no longer hate him. Do I love him? No. Do I really care about him? No. So it's like, really, you got to feel something because you care about the average human being. So you have to feel something. And these are the things that I tell myself. And it's like, well, if I have to feel something, it's going to be the negativity that rises up before the positive ever rises up. And I think that may be a safety mechanism. Well, at one point, I know it was a safety mechanism for me to make sure I didn't fall back into my crutch or whatever, because for a long time I figured out that I was addicted to him.
Right.
I had to be.
Right. Children?
Go ahead.
Right. Were your children affected by any of this day or when they were coming up?
Oh yes, they're affected to this day. My 25-year-old, I have one daughter. I have three sons and one daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter has severe trust issues. She's 25 years old, and she's never had a boyfriend.
Wow.
And it's going to take hell and high water to get next to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a result of that, her being in that toxic situation. My oldest son, he used to make a statement to me, and he started making that statement at 11 years old, I choose my father, I choose my father. My oldest son was in jail by the time he was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got out of jail, by the time he got out of jail, he realized the wrong choices that he made.
Mm-hmm.
His father no longer exists to him. Wow. And if you mention him, he just tell you, I ain't got time to try to kid no grown man. I'm taking care of me, you know, and he to have nothing. My 27-year-old has severe anger issues against him. And he does not, he witnessed, my oldest two are the ones who witnessed the most of the abuse. That oldest child has a blockage because there's things that he say, like he credits other people with things that I did. And he charges me with things that other people did. So he has this kind of blockage thing. But my 27-year-old, he has the anger because that was my little fighter. That was my little protector. And he has that anger that is now spilling over into his own because he's so determined that he's not going to be abusive. He ain't putting his hands on no woman. He's not going to be abusive. He's verbally abusive with the mother of one of his children because she's verbally abusive to him. So
right, but he doesn't strike her.
he's never put his hands on her. My son has been scratched twice. He was scratched straight down the middle of his chest by one young lady, and he was scratched in his face by another, and that's because they were hitting him. And he finally got out of his own car and walked away from her, and he called me on the phone, and we met him down there, and he said, "I need you to get her out of my car so I can leave." And because he would not put his hands on her, and he didn't want to call the police because he didn't want her to say that he had did nothing to her. And she got out of the car when we got there, and he got in his car and he drove away. And it was later on that I saw his face, and he said, but that was the end of that for them. The other one went a little bit longer, but he's really obsessive about, "I'm not abusive, I'm not abusive, I ain't never put my hands on you." But he can be somewhat controlling, and he can be verbally abusive when you go at him. He's one of them people who, like, he's hell-bent on getting you back. And I know that's where a lot of that, the whole that come from. I'll give you a prime example, and this will sum it up. When my mom died, my son was sitting in my mom's funeral. Now, he was already angry because they would not let him out of this one class to come back from Philly. So he left the night before at like 9:15 and drove all night long to make sure he was here the time my mother's funeral at 10 o'clock that next morning. He was a ball of anger. I'm looking at him, and he looked like a time bomb about to explode. He divulged to me about 2 years ago that the reason he would not leave, because he sat in one part on this bench, and he would not move. And I couldn't, "Would you scoot over?" "No, I need to sit here. You can need to go in." And he would not move. He was waiting on his father to walk through the door. He was going to attack him.
Wow.
That's why he would stay on that end. And he finally divulged that to me, and I looked at him, and I told him, I said, "You cannot change time. Your father made his choices, and he's the person that he was. No, you all did not have the benefit of a father. No, you all did not have this, that, and the other, but that's done. You need to move on. You need to harbor." I have a brother right now that's 40. I'm 48. I have a brother that's 45 years old. That'll be 45 years old in February. No, I'm 50. I'm sorry. I have a brother that's 46 years old who still go around talking about the things his father did when he was little. That's his reason he's non-productive. Really? Really?
Sometimes you got to let it go.
You got to let it go. And that's what I'm trying to work on with my 27-year-old. He lives in North Carolina right now. And there's a big possibility that he will be moving back to Chicago. And if he comes back here, that's one of the things that I'm going to work on with him, because he needs to let go so that he can be a whole person and not hold on to that piece. Because right now, that part that he is not, his father has that part of him. And that part is hate-filled.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a break and come back, and we're going to dive in back into it with Danny and see what she's up with toxic relationships. And if anybody has any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. The number is 646-652-2877. And if you have a question or comment, hit the 1. That'll raise your hand. I'll know to bring you in. We'll be right back after this brief break. I thought we was going to take a break. Let's see what's going on here. Well, it looks like we won't be taking a musical.
Thank you.
righty then. Welcome back. That's the point of sisters. Yes, we can. Okay, the next topic is toxic relationships. And if you have any questions or comments or anything you want to add to this conversation, feel free to call in. The number is 646-652-2877. Again, the number is 646-652-2877. And this is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, along with my two co-hosts, Rhea and Danny. Back to the topic at hand. Danny.
Toxic relationship. You know what? It may seem weird to some of y'all, but of course I'm a lot younger than y'all. So, of course, I'm probably going to have more toxic relationship, but I haven't been in many toxic relationships. But the one thing I love, and it might sound weird, but the one thing I love about toxic relationship, it helps me. You know, I know everybody's situation is different, but, you know, I know everybody handle it and everybody's outcome is different as well. But you know what? Growing up, I was exposed to a lot of toxic relationship, and it helped me as I got older to know, you know what, I don't want to deal with that because I knew how my aunt and my uncle dealt with that or my grandma dealt with that and my mom. So I ain't want to do that. Then sometimes it made me curious to say, you know what if I do it and I do what they did at the end? Maybe I come out the same way. And being hard-headed, yeah, it didn't work always that way. It didn't always work that way. So the thing about toxic relationships, you know, it's easier said than done. You know, we always say, you know, get out of it, da da da. I've been around a lot of people, and it's easier said than done. It's a lot of women.
That's true.
My age that are 31, and I'm 31 with no kids. And, yes, I lost a child and had a hell through that relationship. That was the worst toxic relationship I had in my life. But I look at a lot of people my age that's 31. I know a chick that I just met a couple of days ago. She's 33 with 8 kids, and her youngest is like 3. And her youngest is, her youngest is not 3. It's like a couple of months. I believe the baby probably like, I'm going to say maybe 6 months. Is that? And, you know, I didn't really get into it because I didn't want to make her feel uncomfortable because I'm nosy and I like to ask questions. I'm very detailed. So I want to know you all got the same baby. But, you know, you can't do that. You know, you just let people tell their own life story. But a lot of toxic relations taught me and helped me to grow to be a woman. Some of it, you know, taught me some of my own experience, you know, being hard-headed. So I can't really speak on too much on toxic relationship because my own experience as far as toxic relationship, I had one with my child's father, and the crazy thing about that is I loved him, and I felt like Rhea did. I loved him at one point, and the worst thing he did to me, he told me he didn't want my son, and he wanted me to abort my baby because of who I am and also my religious. I grew up not to kill no baby, so I decided to keep my baby. And, you know, there's moments I'm human. I'm so human right now that there's thoughts that if I knew that my son was on the path, sometimes I think, like, well, what the hell? I question sometimes, like, why the hell I went through all of this and my baby still passed at the end of all of this? Like, I'm like, what kind of lesson I'm supposed to learn? And the thing about me losing my child, I had a lot of stress. My baby father didn't want it. He didn't want to be with me if I kept it, so he told me to take care, have a good life. So it's like I lost my job, I was on modified bed rest, and it's my first pregnancy, my first full-term pregnancy, and decided to keep it, and it was just like, oh, God, everything is the worst. Like, you know, some people experience pregnancy is supposed to be like a joyous thing. For me, it was hell. It was the worst hell the day of my life. And even after that, I reached out, and I did. I reached out when I was 5 months. It was on Christmas time. I reached out to my child father and asked him questions and, like, you know, can I see you? Can I speak to you? Can we still talk? He's like, what the fuck do you want? I'm like, whoa, like, you still mad? Like, I'm 5 months now. Like, I'm going to keep the baby. Like, so it didn't matter. Probably 2 weeks before I lost my baby, I reached out to him. It was Easter, and I reached out to him, and I said, well, can I speak to you? I said, you know, I'm going to have the baby soon. It's a boy, and, you know, started to talk to him, and was like, can we sit down and at least talk? What the fuck do you want? I'm like, huh? Like, yo, I'm about to be, like, delivering in, like, 2 weeks. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you still mad? Like, wow. And I still reached out. I still felt like at the end of the day, that was still my child's father. So he still needed to know updates. That's just how my brain registered. People was like, oh, F him, why is you still reaching out? It was just a part of me. I loved him. And when my child died, worst thing a man could ever do and the worst thing anybody ever done to me, for my experience, I was in the hospital, and I went to call him to let him know. And, you know, I'm medicated. I can remember everything, but, you know, I'm medicated. They trying to, because at the time I was still carrying my son, and I had to get ready to have a C-section. They wanted me to push him out before they do the C-section. So I had to go through all of that carrying him and seeing if I'm going to, you know, go in centimeters, if I'm going to be able to deliver a 9-pound baby. He was 9 pounds. And they wanted me to push him out. And I'm like, you want me to push out a dead baby? Are you kidding me? Like, and they couldn't help me because of the fact that if they will pull anything, you know, they'd detach anything from him. So I'm like still kind of confused. But I picked up the phone and they had just given my medicine and everything. And I'm calling my child's father. And I said, you know, when I called, his mother answered the phone. And I said, can I speak to his name? You know, I said his name. I said, can I speak to so-and-so? And she said, you know, who is this? And I said, it's Noana. I said, you know, it's, I need to speak to him. It's really important. So he got on the phone. Apparently his mom never hung up the phone. So when he got on the phone, I began to tell him, you don't have to worry about anything. I said, just found out the baby passed away. I don't know if I'm going to be able to deliver or C-section, what's going on. But I told him everything where I was, and you could come up here and see the baby and, you know, kind of come up and see the baby or whatever the case you want to do. I'm just calling to let you know the baby passed away. Well, before he could get anything out, his mother said, well, if you would have did what my son told you to do in the beginning, you wouldn't have gone through that. If anybody knows, that's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, you know, I'm like, what? Like, and I'm like medicated, and my family is around me, and I'm just like, what? Are you kidding me? And I guess I must have been cursing and saying stuff back and forth, and my uncle and them came and got the phone. It was just like, wow, like, it is the worst relationship. And you know what? Still after that, I got home, and things happened, and I still had trouble afterward. I still went back with him. It felt like, you know, I still went back with him. We still try to work things out. Even after all of that craziness, it was like, I still love them. Let's get it out. And I think for me, it was like the void of my son. Like, I missed my son, so I felt like I still had him. He was still a part of me. My child father was, you know, still part of me. So that was going to be my void, you know, of my son. So kept going. Because of the way that my son passed away and the questions and stuff that appeared, we decided to get a lawyer to make sure that everything was done right, to make sure that it wasn't nobody's mistake and everything, because it was just weird how, you know, everything was right. Went to my doctor's appointment Monday and Tuesday, baby's alive, kicking every day, and I go Friday and it's gone. So, you know, we did the lawyer thing, and my child's father there, and my family's like, you know, I love my family to death, and to this day, I still love my family. And they are who they are. They just family. And they were like, you're crazy. Why are you still talking to him? Why now? He wants to be a part of this now. And, you know, at the time, I didn't see it. I didn't see that he wanted to be more a part of me. He was getting closer to me when he thought it was a case. No, not one time did I think that. I'm just doing me thinking, that's my child father, so, you know, he got to be a part of this. And even after that, when the lawyer came back, and it was about a year after that, and the lawyer told us it wasn't okay. They did everything that was right. Everything was okay. It's just something, unfortunately, that just happened. You know, the placenta separated from the uterus. It's just something that just happened. So it was like, okay, you know, all right, I can finally get some peace. It's not a case. I'm okay. I'm okay with it. For some odd crazy reason, 2 days after that, I swear, my child father went from, like, did a whole 360. Again, did another one, like, oh, you killed my child, da-da-da-da. Wow, all of a sudden now it ain't no case. And he works at the hospital. So I guess whatever the lawyers was talking to us, he was telling the nurses and the doctors that was there and trying to get some kind of reason to blame me. And it was just like, oh, you did this and you did that. It took me a while. After that, we broke up. And it took me maybe about 6 months to say, you know what, I'm better than that, I'm okay, I'm good, I don't deserve this, I deserve better, I'm okay. Oh, I finally got some peace with my son, my child's father is gone. And you know the crazy thing about it, I went right back to him again. And you know, I still said to myself, like, what the hell? What the hell is wrong with me?
That's that addiction.
And I'm like, it ain't the sex, so I'm being honest, it ain't the dick. So I'm like, well, what the hell, something's got to be wrong. I said, something's wrong with
that's
me.
That
but you know what, I tell people all the time that his good things, the good things that he did, I kept hovering on that. I wasn't the type of person that some women are, like, oh, you always did this and you did that. I tried to block it. I did it. I put a red flag up and I blocked it. I didn't want to realize it and I didn't want to recognize it, knowing that even though he had red flags and I ignored it, but, I blocked it. I didn't want to because, you know, that's what some of us women do. We block it, you know, because the good things we think overpowers that. But, let me speak to you. Let me tell you right now, if you got red signs, if you got some signs, you better listen to them. Because my grandmom even told me before I got pregnant that he wasn't no good. And I'm like, what is this woman talking about? She don't even know him. Like, what's she talking about? Like, hell, he's from the city. He has sipping. You know how these seniors talk, you know, the older women talk. And my grandma's just like, well, he's a city slicker. He's from the city. He ain't no good. I'm telling you, don't trust it. Don't trust no man like that. I'm like, okay, grandma, whatever. I wish I would have listened. I really would. You know, and that's the moment that I wish I would have listened. But now I can say, and I look back and just say, you know, like y'all were saying, addiction. Like, I was addicted to him. Like, this was some kind of crazy stuff. And, you know, I never judge anybody that goes through stuff. And my heart goes out to people, especially that goes back, because I always ask, like, he punching you in the eye. Like, how you don't leave? Like, you can't even sleep. Like, you got to sleep with one eye open because you don't know when the next time this nigga going to punch you in your mouth. Like, how do you stay? And, you know, and I reached out to a lot of people and helped a lot of people, and a lot of people helped me heal. And it was just like, it's easier said than done. You know, some people got kids and some people been in deep and too late and they scared to leave and they don't know if he going to kill them or whatever the case may be. And it's just, you know, the thing about toxic relationships, like I said, at the end of the day, it's easy said than done. And if you can, like, God forbid, if you can get out, please, like, use it. Use that little square that you can get out, squeeze your fat behind through that little thing, and get your behind out of it. I don't care how small it is. If it's an opening for you to get out, if that's an opportunity, take it. I tell anybody to take it. But toxic relationships, you know, I've been exposed to it all of my life, and some of it helped me. Some of it didn't, because I'm being hard-headed because I'm young. So, but, you know, that's just my thing on toxic relationship, you know.
Was he ever abusive to you in any way, physically, mentally?
Never. I never had one of those, no. He never put his hand on me. Verbally, yes. So if you want to say abusive verbally, yes. But physically, no. We never had no physical, you know, altercation. But verbally, yes. He was verbally abused. But I talked shit back to him, so I didn't really take it as verbal abuse. Somebody else was saying,
you were both
being calling him fat and black.
Mm-hmm.
But I called him yelling fat back, too, so it didn't really matter to me. It didn't look like that, but to other people, it was like, well, he always talked like this to you. And then I talked shit back, so, you know.
Wow. Well, what advice would you give someone who you saw in an abusive relationship, or someone you didn't want to get into an abusive relationship? What would you tell somebody who came to you and said, my boyfriend is abusing me 1 week, and then the next week they come back and tell you he's hitting me? You know, what would you tell a person in that position?
Oh, man. I had a female friend that was like that, and the thing I used to tell her all the time is, you know, Madea used to say it all the time, if you ever watch one of, you know, Madea's shows, you always tell you watch stuff like that from a distance. Watch stuff like that from a distance. But she would always go back and forth. And it was just like, we would fight and we would argue with him, and then, like, next week she was with him. So I got to a point where I was like, listen, don't call me, don't tell me nothing, because I don't want to hear it. And I did that one day, and she didn't. She didn't call me, and she always does it, and she didn't do it. And the day that she didn't do it was the day that he killed her.
Mm.
And that haunted me for the longest ever in my life. So I always tell people, if you need help, I don't care how many times, you know, we have talked to each other in blue, and sometimes I'm grateful for my parents and my aunts and my uncle for talking to me till this day, still talking to me till I'm blue, until they blue, because it helps people. You just never know at that time in that situation. But I always tell people, do some kind of, I don't care if you got to write a note, if you got to keep saying it over and over, somebody tell you they tired of hearing, keep crying out, because some people, you know, crying out is different. Everybody crying out is different. You might not get a physical cry from somebody. You might get somebody just angry and want to vent. And if you ever listen to them, they're just telling you what just happened and what's going on, and they want help. So I tell anybody, like,
please tell someone. Talk to someone. Talk to anybody. I don't care if it's a coworker. I don't care. Like, and Rhea's right. The police, they think crap like that is a joke. Like, they don't take
yes.
this crap serious when it comes to abuse. Like, a nigga, and I'm really being honest, when it comes to black folks anyway, it's like, oh, they, first of all, we already in the hood, and you already calling. So, God forbid, do you call in because somebody done got shot or whatever, they take their time about that. But now you call in because my dude beat on me. They take their sweet time to get to you.
Yeah.
And then they ask you 1,000 questions. First of all, you're not going to sit up here in my face and ask me 30 questions. I just called you outside, away from this man, told you done beat on me. Now you want me to meet you in front of my house. The man's standing right here, and you're going to ask me 30 questions, and then you don't lock him up, then you got me enough. That's another chance that you got him killing me. Like, what are you kidding
yeah.
me? Like, they do the dumbest. They don't care. So I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if you have to run to the hospital. I don't care if you run to the hospital and make a scene. I don't care. Fall out. Act stupid. These people on TV do it. They act stupid, jumping over tables, go somewhere to the nearest person. I don't care if you run outside, butt naked, and just yell and hop. Somebody will help you. I tell people all the time, I don't care what it is. Find a way to act stupid. Act stupid works for some people. I don't care if he
yeah.
punch you in your eye and it's not bleeding. I don't care if you got to put ketchup on it and make it look like it's bleeding. But by the time you get to that nearest store, acting a fool is going to swell up and somebody going to pay you some attention. I don't care what you got to do. Just do something. Do not stay in a toxic relationship, especially in an abusive relationship. Do something. And that's only if you want to get help. A lot of people are so numb to it and content
yeah.
with it to a point where it's like normal to them. To us, it might
right.
be, he's a fool. He's a real fool. To them, that's normal. Oh, he punched me in my face all the time. Huh? What's he? Seriously?
Yeah, that's
people,
true.
You know, and you have to be in consideration with that, too, because we don't know what, all we know is what she tells us. And at the end of the day, she told us he punched her in the face because she came home late. Nobody, but
mm-hmm.
no, you know, and we keep saying, oh, well, girl, you need to leave that. And, but no, she's not telling that even after he punched her in the face, he went back maybe an hour and told her, I love you, bought her some flowers, and this, and that's the reason why she's still there. You still wondering, well, oh, well, is she going to come over? Like, I stayed up waiting for you to come over. And
mm-hmm.
no, it's okay. He's all right. So I'm telling you, it's ways to see signs. And I always tell people, listen, it's not always good to give advice. Sometimes just listen. If a person wants to vent, just listen. Because you can
right.
always catch something when they're talking. And then, you know, when the time comes, you know, you make a note of, you know, helping that person. But if you can, I'm telling you, act a fool, because I do. I'm telling you, act a fool. You know, people always laugh and joke. If I got in a car accident, somebody hit me, I'm just going to fall out. Well, honey, if somebody hit you later, you better fall out and do the same doggone thing that you're going to do when you ain't hurt. Do the same
that's
thing.
True.
I mean, that's the best I can tell somebody. And never to judge anybody because you, some people, and I'm telling you, to us, it might look crazy to them. Like, you're crazy. You're stupid. Like, you are the stupidest woman I ever known in my life. And so I had to get face-to-face with someone one day and was just like, why? And when she explained it to me, I still didn't understand it, but I was just like, you know what? She's wrong. Like, some people
wow.
think that's normal to them, and they're so content with it. It's like numb.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we have another call on the line. I'm going to bring this caller in and see what they have to say about the next topic. 269, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have a question or comment about tonight's topic, toxic relationships?
You know, I just like to jump there and just, you know, said I'm going to call you. I know you got, like, my message or something.
I can't hear you. You have some music playing in the background.
You can't hear me now?
A little bit, but can you turn your music down?
Yeah, it's down. I know you can hear me.
Okay. Now, what were you saying?
I said I was just calling, you know, to do a little support, you know what I'm saying, keep this movement going. But what's the topic for tonight, you know? So
the topic is toxic relationships.
Relationships.
Toxic relationships.
Toxic relationships. Oh. You mean like something bad to your health or just bad for the whole relationship?
Yeah, a toxic relationship. A relationship that...
It's like... Not being faithful is the whole key, you know what I'm saying, to fuck up a relationship.
Yeah, that and other things.
Nah, like, say for instance, all right, I go out my house right now, go to the supermarket or something, and meet a nice woman. She can be the best woman there. can fit me. But at the same time, I'm on some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to fuck her over, fuck her to where, like, to when she meet that next person, she going to be, like, really in that sense of emotion. Like, you know, she got to keep her guards up so she won't run to nobody else like me. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean, like, by a toxic relationship. Like, you're bumping to somebody that's been through some bullshit and then basically trying to take it out on you. And that's the person that you want. But at the same time, if you want something to work, you go push for it to work. But if you don't, you're going to be fucked up at the end of the day for both of y'all.
So you're saying that someone wants a toxic relationship? I'm not understanding what you're saying, or maybe I'm not hearing you right.
All right, let me put it in this sense. How many friends you got that are, and let me see, this is basically abusive relationship?
Well, I know of a few people that are in toxic relationship.
So how many are in abusive relationship? Someone you know then basically got physically abused by her lover and still with him. We can name a few right now. We in Michigan. We can name a few. People lived in court for domestic violence. Oh, my God, domestic violence is just a laugh of the past right now. Sparkle. Yeah, something like Sparkle. Man, what I'm trying to say is basically all right. You in an abusive relationship, and your man beats on you. At the end of the day, y'all go through all that, through the courthouse and all that, and one of y'all basically just breaks down and say, y'all sorry, what you do? Y'all back to loving each other. And the fucked up part about it, it always happened again, you know? So why would you...
Right, so...
Why would you be in that relationship and you know you're going to always end up with the black eye? You know what I'm saying? You might end up talking to somebody and he find out or it come back. And, man, you have emotional men like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say all men like that. You have emotional men like that. But, you know niggas that get mad and, you know, whoop on that girl because they talking to them. And then, you know, she take them to court. Then she end up taking a sorry ass back. Basically like that. You know what I'm saying?
So that's a toxic relationship. So what advice
toxic.
Would you have? What advice would you have for someone who was in a relationship like that? Or have you ever been in a toxic relationship?
I'm not in a relationship. You know, sad to say I'm a male whore, but I'm a participant.
Hello?
Male whore. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You seem like you're talking to me and somebody else. I asked, have you ever been in a toxic relationship?
Not really. No, I haven't.
Okay. So if you knew of someone who was in a toxic relationship, what advice would you give them?
That's a Mariah Carey, ain't it?
Oh, wait. Look at that. Hold on. Matter of fact, I'm going to burn you right now. My sister, she done been in a toxic relationship. Oh, my sister. You know why I had to look at my sister? She done been in a very toxic relationship. You want to get on the air? You want to get on the air and talk to the people? Oh, you on the air, man. She would have been hit by cars, ran over. I mean, her relationship was toxic now. Me, I'm an average nigga. We started over the Mari call right now. And it's your oldie too for everybody that's listening.
But it seemed like you're yourself, you're in a toxic relationship because you just said you're a man whore. So that's toxic right there. Isn't that toxic?
No, it's like this. With me, I don't, like, break down. You know how, like, niggas try to be players and stuff like that, and they always get caught up and all that? I'm not going to say I don't take it that far, but, like, you know, you got boundaries. If you got a boundary set up with a woman is not going to just, you know, step on your toes like that. You know, you got certain women that will spaz out on you in public, don't care where you at. and you got women that gonna respect you, because vice versa, I can see you out, you know what I'm saying, with Jeff on Thursday, then see you with Rick Friday, then goddamn, we at the club together on a Saturday, then come church on a Sunday, you talking to the deacon brother. You feel me? I'm serious, though. I'm serious. I'm serious, like, but y'all don't never clown. We don't never clown on each other because we got that set up, that boundary. Ain't about we hoeing or nothing like that. It's just about being respectful with, you know, like, what you do. Like, if you going to do that, you going to do that.
So what advice would you give to somebody? So what advice would you give to somebody that's in a toxic relationship? Like your sister. What advice would you give your sister? Is she still in a toxic relationship as we speak?
Nah, when you look at it like this, man, when it comes down to like a toxic relationship, you have either one partner messing with the other's head or both partners are messing with each other's head. You look at it like, take this, all right. You meet someone, I'm talking about you, you meet someone, and you are so for real in this person. So for real, he got you spun. He got your head, whole head spun. Now, might I remind you, he's taking you out, you doing real things. You're not doing no C-class, D-class things. You're doing A-class things. I'm taking you out. You're going places you ain't been, like, just, you know what I'm saying? 3-week vacation, shit like that. He got your whole head spun. And at the same time, he got a wife or got a woman. You know, just basically, and when you find out about it, it fucked you up, but he like, he love you more. He don't even love her. The only reason he love her because of the kids and some shit like this. And he got you spun.
Man. Okay, so what would you tell that woman that sprung? And she just found out he's married. So what advice would you tell her? Because that's a toxic relationship. Anybody messing with a married man, that's a toxic relationship. So what advice would you give to her?
No. See, you cut me off. The advice that I'm trying to give is this. Don't put yourself in a situation to where, you know, people, emotions going to get caught up, man. Your emotion, that's what really drags a toxic relationship, for real. You really look at it. People, emotions. That's what drag it, like, for people to run you over with cars, cut you out in the middle of public, man, get you sent to jail, try to cut you with the knife, man, get you raided by the DEA and everybody else. That's what really, the emotion's turning to hatred. So, like, it's basically when it all boils down to it, man, don't feel nobody, no dream, and goddamn, don't get no feelings caught up. If you gonna fuck a motherfucker that night, after the club, you go fuck them. Don't lay in the bed and be like, oh, I love you. Uh-huh. Whoop, whoop. They're going to buy the dream.
What we're talking about is,
don't sell nobody no dream, man. If you're going to be for real with somebody, be for real. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, but what we're talking about is people in toxic relationships. We're not talking about one-night stands. We're talking
about
people
no
who are...
I ain't talking about no one-night stand when I am telling you.
Well, you just said... You just said if a person just wants to be.
That's what brings it about. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is what brings it about.
Okay, there's too much noise in your background.
But you already have explained that, though. The example that you gave us was that somebody, a man and a woman going around being together, and he doing all this things for her, taking on vacations and stuff like that, and then he finally told her that he was married. What advice would you give her? Because she's already emotionally caught up already. She didn't even know he was married. So by him doing all what he was doing, what you said he was doing, taking her on a vacation and he loved her and all this other stuff, but now he told her that she's married, she's already emotionally caught up. So what advice would you give her now that she's already emotionally caught up in this situation? What advice would you tell her now? Because that is a toxic relationship that you gave. So what advice would you give her? Because her emotion is already caught up.
And can you get some of that noise from the background? Because it's too noisy.
I hear you. I swear he just shouted at me. I hear you. She shot me with a Cupid right there. Though. Really, oh my God. She shouted at me, but y'all niggas in my ear. Oh, my God.
So you have no advice to give to that married woman?
That married woman, oh my God. You didn't create
a monster.
Yeah,
the question
that
she just asked you.
That's what brings it about. That's all the lying and all that. It really ain't no advice to give, because once you create something that's just set loose, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no stopping the thin line between love and hate. Just look at it. For real.
Well, let me ask you this, sir. If you and your girlfriend, you're in a relationship with your girlfriend, and she's cheating on you, you know, and you catch her, and she says, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, and she, you catch her three or four more times, and she keeps telling you she's sorry, how long are you going to take that from her? Are you going to get out of that relationship, or are you going to stay in it?
I ain't going to lie to you, love. I'm going to tell her I've done that for the first time.
You going to do what?
I'm going to tell her I've done that for the first time. I'll sell you that dream after the first time.
Why didn't you put the speakers on there?
They on there.
Speakers ain't on there.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in, sir. I'm going to put you on mute for a second. You continue to listen in on the show, okay?
No, I got you on the internet now.
Pardon?
I got you on the internet.
Okay.
Alright.
Yeah. Well, that was very interesting. That was very interesting.
He took me from A to Z on that. He took me from A to Z. He took me all over the board on that one. Y'all better than
yes,
me.
He did. Yes, he did. He
you know what? He only concentrated on one area. He wanted to talk about what a toxic relationship was. But that's as far as he can go. That's why he couldn't give the advice that he would give somebody that was in one. He can tell you what one is, but he can't tell you anything else about it.
He's in one.
And
he's a man whore.
No. I disagree with that. Because just because he's a man whore don't mean he's in a relationship. He just
hold. Come on, real. Let's talk about like. Come on, real. Like he's a man whore, so he's selling dreams to everybody he's sleeping with. Come on, real.
Yeah.
You got to agree with me, boo. You got to.
We have another call.
We
have another call. Let's bring this other call in. 334, are you there?
Good Lord, honey. I know he is not no regular on Mom Duke's show. This is Granny. Granny had to call in. What is up with that nigga? Is he hot? Is he drunk? What the hell?
Grandma, I was saying the same thing.
I lost my damn train of thought, honey. I was typing so fast, honey. I was like, what? What is the show about again?
But you know what? The back other thing, he was having a conversation in the background. The female hollered out, don't be talking about my business.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew what he was calling in for. And that's why he finally said that was his sister. But it's like, okay, he can describe what one is, but he can't tell you anything else about it. But that
kinda
almost goes along with the mentality of people today, don't get your feelings caught up. Excuse me. Tell me how that's going to happen.
Okay, here's what I think. I think he was just happy to be on air.
Right.
And he ain't know what the hell he was talking about. Don't try to make no excuses for this nigga.
That's right. And Rhea is over there really making excuses for this man.
I need to speak to y'all when I came on the air. I'm sorry. Hey, Rhea and Danny and Mom Duke. I was too busy trying to say something. Danny, let me tell you something. This is not a counseling session, okay? And he kept trying to break shit down. He was not understanding, boo.
No. Miss Kane, between Danny and Yale, I'm sitting there like, what the hell? And I'm like, I'm just listening because I'm like, y'all pulling teeth. And they just had so much patience. I'm like,
so
it took everything for me not to bust up laughing. I'm like, okay. They had so much patience.
They sure did,
both.
Honey, because he's a bit. I'm like, wait a minute, sir. Hold on. One minute. Goodbye.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was just a matter of me getting rid of him, but I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, you know, but he just had entirely too much background noise. He was talking to me, talking to whoever's in the room with him, you know, so the next time if he ever calls in again with that nonsense, he will not be on the show.
And that nigga ran around third base about 10 times. I said, Lord, Jesus, I done got up, went, got something to drink, came back. He's still talking about that.
But he very well could be an example of, quote unquote, the average person, male, because he kept saying that same thing. Just don't get your feelings caught up. Just don't get your feelings caught up.
And he probably his feelings caught up. That's what it sounds like.
You hear that all the time. You hear it all the time.
He sounded like he had something heavy on his heart to tell y'all.
Well, I was trying to let him tell it, but he just wouldn't. He wouldn't. I didn't know.
No, he really wouldn't. He wouldn't. And it's almost like he wanted to say something, but he just wouldn't. And y'all were pulling teeth. I'm like, what the hell?
I'm trying to explain it.
At one point, when Gail said something, hello, 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 I thought she was going to click the button.
I mean, it was like, well, maybe they were sitting around having a party or something. Maybe they celebrating my birthday, but, you know, that...
Honey, it don't even matter. He should have thought about that before he called in to the show.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be having all that stuff going on in the background, fool. What's wrong with you? You wouldn't have called up your local radio station with that mess. Then again,
he
probably would. I can't even
blame
him. Yeah, he was a little in left field.
That's why I asked you in the chat when I said, is he high or is he drunk? Because, see, I know what it feels like to be high trying to carry on a conversation, okay? I do that on my own show. I mess up. Thank God I got Tammy. And I used to have mom dudes because I'd be all the way in damn left field because I'm high. And sometimes your mind just have a way of wandering off when you're high.
Mm-hmm.
And he was. He wasn't in left field, mom dudes. He was cross town, down the street, round the corner, little Kiki them house. And he was. Cam Murphy.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about, but it was a trip.
Well, I commend you both, because you all had patience of Job. And I'm sitting here like, because I just knew when she said hello, 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 because she said it three times consecutively. I said, she's going to hit that button. And when she didn't, and she's trying to talk and cajole, the daddy took over. And I'm like, they actually talking to him. He's saying the same thing over and over again.
And he was salty at the end, though. He was. He's like, oh, I got you on the internet. That's where you should have kept listening at the show, was on the internet. Never.
Wow. Yes, you should have.
He's going to try to find me. I better go and protect the custody around here.
You get ready to be in a whole toxic situation yourself.
Wow.
Where you at.
Well, this has been a great show, ladies. And I do appreciate you calling in. Ms. Kane, did you have anything to add to the topic tonight before we
and
close?
I don't even know if I should. But I can't even say that. I'll just say this real quick. I don't know if my relationship was toxic. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. And I guess I'm going to refer to my daughter's father. Yes, we scrabbled quite a few times. Yep, sure did. I slammed him into a wall one time. I got a knife. I was trying to cut him. Let's see, what else?
Yeah, that was toxic.
He hit me upside my head, you know what I'm saying? I broke all the nails off on him.
I'm scared of y'all. Really?
That was war in the world, this.
Yeah. That was definitely toxic, dog.
Grandmama over there tearing people up, throwing people against walls.
He was crazy. I'm little. I'm 5'2", honey. This nigga 6'3", almost 6'3", somewhere up in there, 6'2", 6'3". And he thought he could manhandle me. No MF. Wait a minute. You must forgot where I'm from. We down for eyes. Hold on, boo. Wait right there. I'm coming back for your big ass. You just wait a minute. It ain't that. But I guess you can say we had a toxic relationship because my baby daddy was very jealous. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And sometimes he let that mess got in the way. Like the incident that we had got into it one night, I came home, had my baby. Kyle Andrew about 3 months. I sat her down in the car seat. Well, she was already in the car seat. I sat the car seat on the floor. I was in the bedroom. This fool walks up to me talking about, let me check your to see if you been effing. I'm like, what? Get your life. You feel me? Get your life. Is you serious? And so from there, we went at it. And that's what it was. But let me just explain. I don't feel like our relationship was toxic. It's just that we had our little petty fights. And if my baby daddy really wanted to hurt me, he could have hurt me. Trust me, he could have hurt me, really. But I don't know. That's just what we did, honey. I used to like trying to kill him. I ain't gonna lie.
Wow.
I kicked him in the chest. We was in the middle of a damn fight. My daughter, she was tagging his ass from the back. She was about 3 or 4. I said, hit him, Bookie. She got that broom, honey. And
oh,
she was hitting it. Real quick, let me just say what this was, Mom Dukes. I was sweeping down the hallway. I told him, I said, shut the hell up. Quit talking to me. You're going to piss me off. He know I zone out. I'm crazy. I said, quit talking to me, B. Quit talking to me. He kept on up the hallway. Yeah. Just run it off at the mouth. But before I knew it, I ran up the hallway with the broom in my hand, and I hit his ass. Wham! I jumped back. He jumped back, I jumped back. We looked at each other. I said, oh, shit, I'm finna have a fight. He came down the hall. He caught me by the bathroom. He was choking me. My daughter ran down there. She said, get out my mama. Get out my mama. So she started hitting him and stuff. I said, get the broom, Pookie. So she picked the broom up and she started hitting it. Now, we over here by the bathroom door, because it's down the hall to the right. Across the hall is like the master bedroom. So somehow we ended up in the master bedroom, fell on the damn the bed. We had a big bed. Fell on the bed, honey, and we going at it, honey. He still trying to choke me. Kyle Andrew back there, waving on his ass. I said, get it, Bookie. And then he had it was a little space between us. Honey, I done kneed this nigga in his chest. Wham! I kicked his ass. I tried to kick a hole through it. He gonna stop talking about something. Hold up. Stop. You about to make me have a heart attack. Well, die, bitch! And I just committed to hit him again. Pray for me.
She said, pray for me. Then she says, pray for me at the end. Gotta love her.
Wow. Well, that was that was definitely toxic, darling. So we're getting down to the that was toxic, sweetheart. We're getting down to the end of the show, and I really would like to thank everybody who came out, Ms. Kane, Tammy, the wanted guest, and the guy who called in. Thank you for calling in, but, you know, next time you call in, boo, please be by yourself. Be in a closet or something, but, you know, don't call in with all that noise. And get your, when you know the topic, get your questions together too, sweetheart, because he was totally lost because he didn't even know what the topic was. So our next,
I'm just playing. I say he was drunk or high, one or the other.
Well, he may have been now. It's a possibility because they sound like they was partying up in there.
Mm-hmm.
So our next Wednesday show is going to be the benefits of an orgasm. So why do women keep faking them when there's benefits behind that? You know, we're going to be discussing that next Wednesday, which is the 16th. No, I'm sorry, the 17th. At 10:30 p.m. right here on Delicious Talk. My show at the end of the month is my musical, and it's going to be slow jams. And if anybody has a topic they'd like to discuss, email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Anything you want to talk about, we will do that. And I want to recant something that I had said on the last show. Nuwana had brought up a subject of a young lady that was experiencing bestiality. And I said that I wouldn't have any shows like that. What I meant to say and what I should have said, because I didn't think about it until I got off the air, was that we would not be discussing anything sexual as far as children are concerned. You know, because there's a lot of pedophiles out there, a lot of people doing things to children. We would not have those shows at Delicious Talk. But the show with the bestiality, I guess we can discuss that because I've seen this happen in tapes and, you know, just curious as to why somebody would want to, we'll talk about it. We'll, you know, get that together, that show together. But, you know, we'll never talk about, you know, the children thing because that's not my thing. I think children are precious and should be treated as such. So I recant that from the last show we had spoke about. And remember, on the 17th, the show is going to be The Benefits of an Orgasm and Why Are They Faked? So with that being said, thanks, Rhea. Thanks, Danny. Thanks, Ms. Kane, for calling in.
Yeah, ma'am.
Thanks, Tammy, for hanging out. And Tammy's show airs every Wednesday at, what time does her show air? 1 o'clock?
Wednesday at 1 o'clock p.m.
Okay, 1 o'clock p.m.
Is that
Eastern Standard Time? That's entertainment. And Ms. Kane, put your show out there as well, hon.
Tomorrow night we'll be on air. The topic is more money, more problems. Is the myth true? If so, for whom? And we're going to kind of break down who is more worse at spending, men or women. So that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night at 10 o'clock p.m. is more money, more problems, issues with money.
And tell them how to get to your show, darling.
Oh, yeah, I was going to do that. I was looking at some blog talk. That, see, that dude rubbed off on me. blogtalkradio.com/Ms. Kane Promotions.
Okay, don't forget that's tomorrow night at 10:30. It comes, well, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but 10:30 it'll be down on, it comes on 10 o'clock. What's your time? CP 10 time?
10 o'clock p.m.
No, Central Time.
Mm-hmm.
What time zone are you on?
Central.
Oh, okay. Comes on 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern Time. So whatever you're doing, check out Ms. Kane. That's tomorrow night. She's talking about more money, more money, more money. Okay. And I'm getting ready to go because it's at the end of the show. I extended it for a little while just to get this in. And I appreciate, again, all you guys who wished me a happy birthday. And I'm still doing a little something, and I think it won't be over until Sunday. But my birthday was yesterday, October the 9th. I turned 63 years young, and I am loving it. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so, you know, that's life. And like I said, every day for me is the first day of the rest of my life.
I know that's right.
You know, every day is the first day of the rest of my life. So everybody, huh?
I was wondering, Miss King, hang up.
I'm still here.
Oh, did you get to check out did you check out anything?
Oh, not. I ain't had time, honey. I've been having some issues, but I'm a. Is it on? It's on your Facebook.
Toxic relationship. Yeah.
Mhm. Is it on your Facebook?
Yes. Yes. I just want to know if you checked out any of the fan pages and the videos I put up. You said
one of the fan pages, and I think I seen the video, but I'm gonna have to go back and look at that. I got some downtime, so I'm gonna check that out now.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll see y'all tomorrow. Thank y'all tonight. I enjoyed y'all, ladies, as always.
I enjoyed you, too. I always enjoy my people when they come in, you know, even the callers who do crazy stuff like that guy, because, you know, it just lets me know that people are interested and people are listening, so I can't be mad at him. Now, if he called in acting a complete fool, cursing and, you know, not cursing, but just saying all kind of dumb stuff and, you know, just doing stupid stuff, then, oh, he would have met my friend Mr. Click.
Hammer.
Y'all know who Mr. Click is, right?
That dial tone.
Yeah, I introduced a few people to Mr. Click, especially them bill collectors. They be keep saying, well, when you gonna pay it, you can get this, you can get that. I say, well, hold on, I'm gonna let you speak to somebody about that, Click. All righty, everybody, I'm gonna let you go. Y'all have a beautiful night and a beautiful weekend. See you guys next Wednesday.
Good night.
Thanks,
okay,
Rhea.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Good night, Danny. Miss Kane.
Everybody.